All right, let's talk about controls. Well, not exactly controls. This time we're going to be talking about system response, which is part of controls. It's an important part. It has to do with how you figure out if a control system is doing what it's meant to be doing, how to plan to design a control system for. So it's an essential part of control systems, but not exactly the nitty-gritty of control systems. But anyway, let's get back to it. So, system response. First order response, we'll start with, because it's the first, and it's more or less the most straightforward. First order response is essentially how a first order system, or a first order differential equation modeled system, responds to a step input. Typically, this is going to have no oscillations. That's a big key. It has a sort of an exponential curve that comes up to a steady state value. It's the pretty typical thing that you would see a lot of systems have when you give them that kind of step. So imagine a thermometer. You put it outside in the winter, and depending on where you live, the temperature will probably go down because at least where we live up here in Canada, it gets cold in the winter. And that kind of response you'll see from the thermometer where it comes from its initial value to a steady state final value and a sort of a first much more rapid response and then a gradually slower and slower response until it reaches steady state. That is a first order response, and that is therefore a first order system. Resulting from a step input, it has that characteristic response. Some of the other ways you can describe a first order system would be based on the fact that it would have either a storage or a dissipative element. So something that stores energy or something that dissipates energy. Some examples could be something like a capacitor, or it could be something like, as we said, a heater or something that has the ability to store that energy or dissipate that energy away. An RC circuit would be a great example of that kind of dissipative element. And then the other thing that you, from a mathematical perspective, would want to know about a first order system is you're going to have typically two types of parameters to describe the particular response of the system. There's going to be K, which is just a gain, and that determines how much the system responds based on how much input is given, and tau, which is the time constant of the system, and that's going to influence how rapidly it responds. So if your tau is extremely small, then when you give it that step, it's going to respond very, very quickly, especially initially. And if you have a large K and you give it a small input, it's going to have a very large response. So that's generally how you're going to describe a first order system. In the Laplace domain, which I believe we've talked about, but is sort of where control systems lives, this is going to have a characteristic equation of K, as I mentioned, over tau S plus one. That's the characteristic equation you're looking for. And anyone who's a controls person will immediately know if you're seeing a plant model or any other model of a system that has that K over tau S plus one characteristic equation, that's what we're talking about. Now getting into second order systems, as you might imagine, second order systems have a second order polynomial in their descriptive transfer function. And second order systems have a slightly different response in that, whereas one of the characteristics of a first order system is it doesn't have oscillations in the response, second order systems do have oscillations in their response. A sample of a second order system could be something like a quarter car model, what you might want to call like a suspension system for a vehicle, where you have a mass spring damper, or at least a spring damper in your car. And as you go over bumps, your car suddenly goes like, rip, 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 rip. That sort of response is a second order response where you have an initial peak and then it slowly damps out to the final value. And therefore, the elements of a second order system you're looking for is when it's subject to an impulse, you're going to have a percent overshoot and you're going to have a peak time. So the peak time is how fast it responds, again, sort of like time constant. And percent overshoot is going to be how much it overshoots the value it's eventually going to get to. And those sorts of parameters, they, in terms of the properties of the response, the characteristics of the response, they're going to be influenced by a couple of parameters in the equation of the second order system, which are omega n, or the natural frequency of the system. The natural frequency is where if the system is perturbed and it has no damping, it's going to bounce along and resonate at that natural frequency. And zeta, which is the damping ratio of the system, and that has to do with how quickly it will damp down to the final value. If your damping ratio is very low, it'll continue to oscillate smaller and smaller until it gets to the steady state, but it'll oscillate quite a lot more than if your damping ratio is high. And then omega D is a final parameter, is also sometimes used, and that's the actual frequency of the system. So with the damping ratio included and the natural frequency of the system, how much it will actually resonate. Damping ratio is the one you're really going to want to key in on, because that's going to typically characterize the type of second order system it is. So for instance, if your damping ratio is zero, your system is going to be undamped, obviously, because damping ratio is zero, it has no damping. So that's typically going to mean that it's going to oscillate indefinitely if you give it a disturbance. So it's going to just keep oscillating and oscillating and oscillating forever. In reality, that type of system doesn't really exist. But the ones you're really going to want to pay attention to are if your damping ratio is greater than zero, but less than one, it's going to be called underdamped. And underdamped is going to be having that characteristic kind of decaying oscillations when it's disturbed. So that oscillations are going to kind of come up to your peak and then bounce and bounce and bounce of smaller and smaller amplitude until it gets to the final value. And depending on that damping ratio, as I said, it'll come down faster or slower in terms of its rate of decay. Now, critically damped, which is when your damping ratio is one, that's typically in engineering control systems, especially in fields like robotics, what you're going to want to aim for. That's really the magic type of response you're going to look for when you include a controller into your system. Because that critically damped response means it's going to come up to the steady state value and just sit there. There's no overshoot. There's no undershoot. It just comes right up and sits right on the steady state value. Realistically, a lot like a first order response. That's a critically damped system, and that's what you're going to be aiming for when you design a control system to have something mechanical or at least electromechanical respond to a disturbance, because you want it to not go too far, not go too short, just hit that bang on value that you want it to hit. Now, overdamped, when you have a damping ratio of greater than one, that's going to be kind of similar to a critically damped system. Basically, the difference is going to be that a critically damped system is going to get to that value in the least amount of time, whereas an overdamped system will still get there. It's just going to get there a lot slower than it has to. So again, looking at second order systems, and again, talking about transfer functions in the Laplace domain, which is where we live in controls, typically these are going to have a characteristic equation of K, so you've still got your gain, omega N, your natural frequency, all divided by that second order polynomial I talked about, which is S squared plus 2 zeta omega N S plus omega N squared. So you'll see this in the control book, and it's a pretty common thing to look for, especially when you're designing a PID controller. We use it quite a lot because we know that a second order system has that kind of characteristic equation. So therefore, because we know how percent overshoot and peak time and all the parameters you're looking for relate to that second order system, if you can get your controlled plant closed loop response or model to look like that second order system characteristic equation, you can just pull the values of your omega N and your zeta out of that. And then based on those values, you can just pull out how your system is actually going to respond in terms of percent overshoot and peak time. So you have a direct line of mathematical correlation between a characteristic of the performance of your system and the actual mathematical model of your system. And so through that line, you can figure out what gains you need to get it to respond in a particular way. And that's how you design your PID controller, which we'll talk about later, but that's the thread and that's why it's so important. The last thing we'll talk about is steady state error. Now, steady state error is, again, pretty straightforward. It is the error your system has when it reaches steady state. So as your error, or the difference between where you want to be and where your system actually is, as time goes to infinity, basically the error that's left when your system is finished responding, especially with a first order system, that error is going to be your steady state error. And typically the way you would find that would be you take your mathematical model, you add a step response, and based on that mathematical equation you have, you take either time to infinity in the time domain, or again, because we live in the Laplace domain, you take S to zero. And as you take S to zero, you'll see a lot of your parameters disappear and you'll end up with the equation of your system or the representation of what your system does when your steady state is reached and your error is still there. The one thing you're going to want to look for, which is a trick that you'll often get asked in terms of control systems courses and especially some of the exams and problem sets and things you'll see, is anytime you are using a PID controller and you have an integral gain, the magic of integral, as you may have known or learned about if you've already gone through the PID control material, is that it brings that steady state error to zero, always. And so when you have that equation, as soon as you've got a PI controller or a PID controller, that as steady state error will always be zero. You don't even have to do the math. You can if you want to show the justification for it. But realistically, if there's an integral gain, you're going to zero. That steady state error is not going to stick around. That's basically the ins and outs of a system response. There's other ways to look at system response. There's obviously more complex systems, but these are the main ones you're going to see in controls. And this is how you talk about them and what's important.